there's not a whole lot of security in my relying on myself to remain grounded and steadfast and not moved away. There's not a whole lot of security if that's the condition for this reconciliation. I'm in shaky ground.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
Colossians chapter 1, and we're just going to look at a few verses from verse 19 through 23. And if you're around the Lord's table today, Brother Greg just stole my message and laid it out around the Lord's table. But let's see how the Apostle Paul in Colossians deals with the exact same subject as he shares with us the fact that Jesus is our reconciliation. Now let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us and caring about us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just challenge us, that you would speak to each one of us, that you would encourage us with this word, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. What many people don't realize is that we all are born into opposition with God. We're born into a warfare, a fight with God. And from the very beginning, our selfish streaks begin to fight against discipline and accountability with God. Much more, the demands of a holy and righteous God stand in opposition to everything that we want to do. In other words, we are in need of reconciliation with God. We stand in need of being able to be brought back together into a right relationship with God the Father. The good news is that Jesus is our reconciliation. Jesus is our reconciliation. First of all, in verse 19, I want you to see that Jesus is uniquely qualified as he is the fullness of all that God is. Jesus is all that God is. He is, as the text says, the fullness of God. If you want to know anything about God, you just have to look to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, it says in verse 15. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was manifested in the flesh as God the Son, put on human flesh, and walked among mankind." And so the fact is that everything you need to know about God the Father, you see those character traits, you see that righteousness, you see all of that in Jesus. And when we look at the life of Jesus, then we see the fullness of his holiness. We see the fullness of his righteousness. We see all of that character in Jesus that is reflected through him of God the Father. The perfect life that God wants us to emulate was lived out down here on this earth through Jesus Christ. And we see that perfect life when we see Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, we read that we have been called to obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you and I have the job of emulating and demonstrating so that the world can see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life that that God wants us to see. When we think about that glory, we need to be able to see the glory of his love for us. We need to be able to see the glory of his grace and forgiveness. We need to be able to see the glory and wonder of his salvation. And when people see us, they should see those character traits. The love of God should compel us and drive us to love other people and to forgive other people and to demonstrate what God has done for us through us. And so we share the love of God with the world around us.
The great commandment tells us that loving God and loving our neighbor is the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. That's what Matthew 22 says, that if you want to complete and fulfill all that God desires for us to live out, it is summed up in that great commandment to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. That commandment is the fulfillment, and it makes us to look more like Jesus. That should be the desire of every one of us, to look more like Jesus. And certainly we are all marred in that. We are all, none of us are a perfect picture of what it's supposed to look like. But that should be the goal. That should be where we are headed toward. That should be the standard that the character of Christ, the traits of Jesus, are seen in and through us. Why? Because Jesus is the fullness of God in flesh, and we should be moving to be more like him. Now get this. If he is the reconciler, if he is the one that is going to reconcile us, then he has to be the fullness of God in order to get us all the way back to God. Are you hearing me? You see, if I'm trying to reconcile you to God, you can only go as far as I can take you. And that's not very far. So we should be grateful that we have a Jesus Savior who is the fullness of God, who can, when we are in Christ, can take us all the way to the Father, and we can become more like him. But look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You see, Jesus offers us peace with God through the blood of his cross. Now, if you were around the Lord's table, I can just stop right here, because that's exactly what Brother Greg was talking about this morning, that we have this peace with God. Notice that Jesus is not only the fullness of God, but he is also the means of our peace with the Father. And so he can carry us all the way to the Father, but he also is the means of us jumping out of that state of warfare, that state of animosity, that state of contradiction with the Father. And we're born into that fight. Since we're born into this fight with God, and since we battle his rule of our lives from day one, we stand in need of peace with God. You know, there is none of us that came into this world, that were born in this world, in agreement with God. We were all born into this world fighting, because of our selfish desires, fighting any form of discipline, any form of accountability. We are born into this world wanting to do our own thing. And if you just look at a little child, you'll see what I mean. By the time they're 2 years old, they know exactly how to throw a fit that'll turn your house upside down to get what they want. Why? Because we are born with that selfish desire. We're born into this fight, not only with their parents, but their fight with God. And we battle his rule of our lives from day one. We stand in need of peace with God. We need a white flag to fly. We need terms of surrender to end the war. We need a mediator to step in and call a truce. But I'm glad to say that's exactly what Jesus did. He stepped in. And there are a couple big words in the Bible that describe how we have been removed from the battle, the battlefield with God. And so I want you not to have your eyes roll back when I throw a couple big words at you. But listen to me now and try and understand what these terms are. Maybe take a couple notes. First of all, there is the word propitiation. Now, anybody who's read the Bible has at least seen the word, even if you didn't know what it meant. propitiation. I'm going to try and give you some ways that you can help you to memorize and understand what he means. First of all, the word begins with pro, the prefix, P-R-O, which refers to what was given for. It's what was done for. And so Jesus is a propitiation because he was given for the redemption and satisfaction of God's judgment of our sin. Jesus is our propitiation because he was given for us. Are you with me? But then there's another big word, the word expiation. Have you heard that one before? The word expiation begins with E-X, which, like exit, it means out from. It means out from and refers to result, to the result of what comes out of the propitiation of the Lamb of God. In other words, Jesus, being our propitiation, was given for us. And expiation is what results or comes out of that giving of Jesus for us. Are you with me? Now, what was it that is a result of this, his propitiation? Well, the result was that that the Lamb of God was given and God's judgment was placed on that Lamb and diverted away from us. And so expiation then refers to the fact that today there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Because Jesus is our propitiation, we experience the expiation of any judgment or condemnation that comes in our direction. I hear Pastor Sam saying amen. Stick with me now. I want you to get this. As a result of the giving of Jesus, his gift, he is our propitiation, we now have his judgment diverted away from us. Have you ever seen one of those prison, like a triangle prison, that you can take the light comes this way and then the light goes off that way and it changes the direction of the beam of light? Well, that's exactly what his propitiation has done. It has redirected the condemnation away from us and on to Jesus. So that now there's therefore now no condemnation for his children, for those that are in Christ, because of his propitiation. So there's a quiz at the end. Propitiation and expiation, two very important concepts that that many times we don't grab a hold of, but they speak a beautiful message to us. And because of propitiation and expiation, now we have peace with God. Now I can walk into the throne of grace with God the Father and call him Abba Father. Call him Daddy. Now my relationship with God is at a whole different level. We are part of the same family. Are you with me? And so we have been reconciled to God. Jesus is our propitiation and our expiation, and it offers us peace with God. Amen. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, he says, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. And so he offers us, I'm behind here, he offers us a road to reconciliation. Jesus is the road to reconciliation for all who are enemies of God. Now, if you were not an enemy of God, then this offer doesn't apply to you. If you are so holy, holy that you don't need a savior, then Jesus can't help you. This offer of salvation is for sinners. This offer of salvation is for people who are enemies to God, for people who are outside of God's family. See, there are a whole lot of people in the world today that really believe that we're all children of God. We're all in the family of God. That there is no big problem, no need for Jesus is the only way. And if you are in that camp, Jesus can't help you. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, he didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. And I'm glad that as the Apostle Paul said, being a chief sinner, I qualify. And if you are a chief sinner too, then you qualify. If you think that you can stand on your own righteousness and that you got it all together, then you're on your own before a holy God. But he is the road to reconciliation for all who are enemies to God. And the fruit of this reconciliation, the fruit of this peace with God, is our union with him, our agreement with him. You see, reconciliation refers to the unity and agreement of two or more entities. It's the working together as opposed to fighting against each other. Reconciliation is an accounting term that's used to describe the agreement between two accounts. And when there is a discrepancy between two accounts, is there an accountant in the house? Somebody's got to make a deposit. A credit has to go into one to bring them into agreement. Now, have you ever had, you get one of those little envelopes from the bank that says you got to make a deposit to bring your account up to out of the negative, and so that you're in agreement with the bank. Well, that's exactly where we stand. We stand in the negative with God and his righteousness. We need a deposit to make us reconciled with him. And when there's a discrepancy, there has to be that credit made. And the redemption price that was paid with the sacrifice of Jesus became the credit or propitiation that resulted in expiation and made possible reconciliation with God. Now that's a mouthful, but track along with it, because it is that deposit of the blood of Jesus there on the cross that makes it possible for us to be reconciled with, brought into agreement with God. The redemption price that was paid with the sacrifice of Jesus became the credit or propitiation that results in reconciliation. You see, we were all enemies and aliens that were not in agreement with God, and something needed to be done in order to bring us into agreement with God. Because we're born in sin, we're all on notice that the deposit of righteousness is required in order to reconcile us to God. Now, you know, we talk about the imputed righteousness of Jesus. In other words, the life of Christ gets credited to our account. Stop and think about that. I get credit for the perfect life that Jesus lived. You can get credit when you stand before God for the perfect life that Jesus lived. Now, I know my life is not perfect. You should know your life is not perfect. But when the righteousness of Christ is put to our credit, that's what the Bible says. His righteousness is imputed to us. We get the credit that brings our bank balance with God right to where it needs to be so he can accept us. I don't know about you, but that's a good gift. And so Jesus is the road then. He is the way to reconciliation. He is the sufficient deposit that can satisfy our shortfall with God. And there's no other way. There's no other road. There's no other religion. There's no other God. There's no other way that you can turn to satisfy that. You have no other options outside of coming to Christ. Don't be an alien or an enemy that stays away from God then. Come to Jesus and ask for his righteousness to be put to your account. Look at verse 22. He says, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. In other words, Jesus paved the road for reconciliation with the sacrifice of his body and his blood. The reconciling propitiation was made by the death of the body of Jesus on the cross. And we are presented holy and blameless and above reproach to the Father because we have been reconciled by the payment of the just punishment that we owed and with a deposit of his righteousness to our account. You know, there's a story about a little girl whose parents were going through a bitter divorce and they were not even speaking to each other. They had nothing in common except their mutual love for their daughter. And one day, as the little girl was playing in the street, she was hit by a bus and seriously injured. And she was taken to the hospital, and when she opened her eyes, she found her parents standing there beside the bed. And so, get this, she extended one hand out to her mother, and she extended the other hand out to her father. The only thing, she stood in the middle as the only point of agreement that the two of them had, and brought that point of agreement focused on her. Well, that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. Because Jesus reaches out with one hand and takes us, and reaches out with the other hand and holds the Father. And he becomes the one point of agreement that we can agree and love Jesus, and the Father can agree and love Jesus. He hates our sin. He hates our unfaithfulness. He hates much of what there is about us. But he loves Jesus. And when we're found in the hand of Jesus, we are in a place where we can receive his love and his forgiveness. And that's reconciliation.
Stay right there. Dr. Hart will return with the close of today's teaching in just a moment. Right now, we have an offer you will not want to miss. This is a must-have booklet to add to your spiritual library. It's called How to Pray. The booklet addresses many of the most common questions about prayer and will encourage you, as a child of your Heavenly Father, to confidently confide in Him. Anchored firmly in the Scriptures, these pages include very practical suggestions designed to help you pray more often and with more confidence as you weave prayer more tightly into the fabric of your daily life. If you'd like a free copy, contact our office at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. You can reach us by phone at 215-361-8111. Our web address is www.gogfministries.org. Here's Dr. Hart again with the close of today's message.
That's reconciliation. It brings us into a place where we can experience all that he has for us. That's what Jesus has done. Being God manifested in the flesh, he extended himself toward us. And being the fullness of God himself, he extended himself toward the Father. But lastly, notice that Jesus gives conditions and guarantees of our reconciliation in verse 23. He says, what's the first word of verse 23? If. Now, you know the word if is a conditional word. So this reconciliation that y'all say an amen to, let me tell you, it's not for everybody. You can say amen all you want, it's not for everybody. This if means that there is a condition for you to receive this reconciliation. Now, notice what the condition is. He says in verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard.
Now, you know, that's a pretty tough condition. You know, the hymn writer says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And all of us are prone to wander. And so there's not a whole lot of security in my relying on myself to remain grounded and steadfast and not moved away. There's not a whole lot of security if that's the condition for this reconciliation. I'm in shaky ground. Don't just look at me. You are too. All of us in and of ourselves, in our flesh, we're all on shaky ground with this main condition that he's giving here. The text says, if you continue in the flesh, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And there doesn't seem to be much security in that condition because of our human weakness. Left to our own devices, we'd be moved away by the currents of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But that is exactly why God steps in. That's exactly why Paul in Philippians 1:6, to assure us that he has begun a good work in you, he who has begun that good work will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that's, you know, people say you don't find eternal security anywhere in the Bible. And that's true. You don't find the words eternal security anywhere in the Bible. But the Bible describes in a lot of places like this, security that you can hang your hat on. Security that you can be confident about. And so we have the promises of Scripture. And the challenge then for us is to make sure that we have invited him in to begin that good work in our hearts. And I wonder if that's you today. Are you positive? Are you sure that you have invited him in to begin that good work of reconciliation in your life? Make sure that you've decided to make Jesus your king. Make sure that there's no competing faction in your heart, but you've decided to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Because it's then that Jesus is not only the road to reconciliation, but he's also the assurance of our salvation.
It is our prayer that this broadcast be a blessing to you and equips you to fight the good fight of faith. Remember to send us your prayer requests, and don't forget our offer for this month, the booklet, How to Pray. You can contact us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. You can reach us by phone at 215-361-8111. Our web address is www.gogfministries.org. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us.